This is WFO Radio.
All right, we're going to get started with our post-race media availabilities here at Martinsville Speedway. We are joined by the crew chief of the number 24 Hendrick Motorsports Chevrolet. Driven by William Byron, we have Rudy Fugel. We also have team owner Jeff Gordon here for the race-winning team. We are going to open it straight up to questions for Rudy and Jeff. If you have a question, please raise your hand. We'll get to you. We'll start up front with Matt and then go to Davey.
Matt Weaver, Racing America, one for Rudy and then one for Jeff. Rudy, can you kind of give me an idea of, with the shifting we saw today, what was the strategy that NASCAR had in setting those gear ratios and the competition they were trying to create? Like, why do we have that dynamic today?
First of all, who won Pensacola?
Bubba. Yeah, Bubba got the SRX ride. Well, actually, Thorne won the race, and Bubba won the SRX ride.
I got you. Okay. So back to your question about shifting. I think with this car, the ratios are really close together is the thing. You know, I think some would argue that a different gear could have put us in fourth a little longer and may not have shifted as much or every lap. But I don't know. I think this car has just tended to be that way, and the ratios are a little closer between gears, and it's easier to shift, to be honest. So everything just happens a little easier, and anytime the driver can find some lap time and affect his handling with it, it's just gonna drive that way.
With some of the it was a track position race in a lot of ways. Is that part of it, or is it just the weather and the tire?
Yeah, I think it was the weather, really. If it was 55, 65, it would have laid some rubber down. You would have seen some different things, and definitely would have had some more fall off, and you would have seen the normal clumping and moving up a little bit in the center, and just seen a little maneuverability. But with the rain and then being so cold, couldn't help it. This is kind of race it was, I think.
Thanks. And Jeff, you've been with William as he's won races in the 24 before, but obviously this place was so special and important for your career. Does it mean anything extra to you and the organization to have William get a grandfather clock?
Well, he got two this week. I've been seeing him progress. I think all of us have, right? And I think when Rudy came on board, his confidence in William, their history, and the confidence that William has in Rudy, I've just seen this team evolving. You know, they've been bringing great race cars. They've been winning, leading laps, and now they've won two races already this year, and I think more are going to come. You know, it just when you start to get that momentum on your side and the confidence is building, that's a powerful combination. And I think all of us were a little bit skeptical about what kind of season we were going to start off with this new car. I think a lot of people with the unknowns, but couldn't be more proud of these guys. And having so many differences and changes, like the shifting and just the setups and how to race these cars, the brakes, all those things around a place like this. And yet, they came here really strong and maintained that track position you talked about. But, I'm really excited to see William progressing so fast this season already. But, you've been seeing it build for the last couple of years.
We'll go to Davey and then to Mark.
Davey Siegel with Front Stretch. Got one for each of you guys. Jeff, did it feel weird at all seeing the 24 car win here and you were not driving it?
Well, I've only known what that's like to be inside the car and never seen it from the outside. So, the 24 car always has had a special place in my heart. When I stepped out of the car from the first time when Chase was driving the 24 at Daytona, I was in the TV booth and it pulled out on pit road. And that was kind of strange to me, I'll be honest. But, since then I've gotten used to it and comfortable. And I think William is a great fit for the sponsors, for the team, and certainly he's getting the job done behind the wheel. So that's exciting. That's fun to see the 24 back in victory lane anytime.
And for Rudy, I know you were on the pit box with Bono on Thursday. Did that help you any tonight to translate anything that you may have learned that night over to today?
Yeah, I think anytime you're involved in a race, especially at the same kind of track and as unique as this place is, you learn and you take those experiences and get a little better. It's totally different type of race and everything, but it, you take everything you can get, and it was fun.
So William has two clocks now. Are you going to beg him for one?
He's got to put some in each room, so we'll keep stacking some up, hopefully, and we'll get everybody on the team on hopefully soon.
I'll go to Mark here.
Mark Carroll, PRN. Jeff, four wins, first eight races. You talked about, hey, they came here and shifting and different and all that, but just overall the season, to be batting .500 after eight races, is that more than you could have anticipated with a new car?
Yeah, definitely. Testing, right? You're trying to evaluate where you're at as a team, listening to these guys in their debriefs and just talking to them over the off season and through some of the testing last year. It was everybody had no idea who was going to come out strong. I will say, I thought that William looked very good in this car from the very beginning. He tested this car pretty early on, in the process. And I just think his driving skills and the way he approaches things, and he works really hard at it too. He studies a lot, and they give him a lot of information, and he can retain it. So I think that a young guy with that ability to get on the simulator as much as right now Williams, right, he's all in. He's doing other races. He's constantly taking in new information from these guys. Working with his teammates, learning from them. But as an organization, I think that just goes to show the quality of people and the depth that we have and the details that we pay attention to. We did that with the old car, and these guys are continuing to do that with the new car and working with Chevrolet. I think they've been, working really hard with us to provide, all the information and technology and a great race car.
And this question is for both of you. Can you just talk about the maturing of William to a guy that, you have potential, and you got to make that payoff. You got to win a race. Now it looks like he is lining up to go, okay, this is going to be my first serious run at a championship and somebody that's going to have to be thought of at the end of the year. Can you guys just talk about just where he was and where he is right now?
Yeah, I think last year the playoffs were huge for us. Just that experience, and if you look at our average running position probably in the entirety of the playoffs, it was really, really good. And that's when I noticed that confidence really, really there and growing. And then all off season with the testing, whether it was good or bad, just growing and budding, deciding to run different kinds of cars and racing all the time, and it's just been successful. Winning trucks, winning late model races, and it's just trending into just something new. The confidence I seen in him a long time ago when we were racing trucks and when I first met him after racing K&N is that he's really, really confident in himself.
Yeah, I would just add that leading laps, just mixing it up with the best in the business, and then having a restart like a green white checker like he had tonight up against Logano, who's very aggressive, and so is Austin Dillon, and to be able to pull that off, now you believe in yourself that in any scenario, if you got the car and you're in the position that you can get it done, and people around you believe that you can get it done, and that's a game changer, right? So sometimes people never get that opportunity, but right now with William, it's happening early in the season, which makes you, kind of anxious to see what's next.
Go to Kelly in the middle.
Kelly Crandall, Racer.com. I have two. The first one, if both of you want to touch on, how important is it for William just now you guys have – he has multiple wins for the first time in a season, and I think that was something that might have – he wouldn't admit, but I feel like that was weighing on him, that he had one win, but then it was sporadic after that.
Yeah, I think anytime you can add that to your list of your repertoire, your resume, whatever, it helps. I don't think we look at that. We don't talk about it, but sure, it matters to all of us to be able to go out there, and we just want to win on a regular basis, right? You want to go have a shot to win every weekend, and Jeff said leading laps and running in the top five and the top three consistently is what it takes. So that's a huge step.
I don't know if I can add much more.
And then Rudy, William came in here yesterday and talked about how at the end of last year is when everything really started as far as like consistency and everything started to kind of come together in that regard. And he used the phrase that the team's just clicking right now. What have you seen from your guys in that regard, maybe confidence and attitude going to the racetrack every weekend?
Yeah, no, this team has done an amazing job. You know, it's we have great engineers, great car chief who leads a group of mechanics and really a huge depth at HMS, period. But you know, the quality of race car that they're putting out and the details, you know, that is bled over to this car because everybody's got the same to start with. So the very minute details make a huge difference. So to be able to trust in each other that all those details are getting met is what makes a big difference in the pace of the car most of the time. And then, so we all believe in each other. We get along, we have a good time and we all want to win just as bad. So it's, we're not here just to show up in cup race. We're here to win.
Go to Alex. Thank you. Alex Andreev with the Charlotte Observer. This maybe didn't look like a typical Martinsville race that we see with a ton of cautions, a ton of wrecks, lead changes. What do you guys attribute that to? Was it the car? Was it the temperature?
Well, I was surprised. I'll be honest. You know, we're trying to speculate what was going to happen. I was talking to all the crew chiefs and kind of getting their thoughts and I don't think anybody would have guessed that it would have gone, you know, especially because it's a new car, right? And they're shifting every lap, and it's easy to lock the left front tire up, and there's just a lot of things. And I think we all knew you'd be deeper in the braking zone. Lap times were faster. You know, there wasn't a lot of fall off. Typically, in that situation, you would say, oh, well, then people are going to get more desperate to make these bonsai moves, and then the cautions are going to come. Or, hey, what do we not know about this car that you know, could kind of bite us today? And didn't see any of that. I think that, and I think Rudy's already said this too, track temperature, when the track's this cold and it doesn't lay rubber, the tires just don't give up. And I'd almost say Goodyear has too good of a tire here right now because, you know, I think the racers want to see the fall off and be able to see line changes set up, you know, matter over a long run. And, I mean, they're running qualifying laps almost every lap. It just did not fall off near as much as anybody thought it would. That's night racing, especially cold night race.
Yeah, most of the temperatures, even during practice, just a little bit warmer. We saw way more fall off and the tires were gummier and you were going to see a different kind of race. So I think we got bit by the cold weather. And, you know, we noticed the cars holding up better also. So they absorb the hit, the bump and run better. They don't, you get a hit and you spin out. It doesn't seem to happen right now. So the good part of not having damage also creates not getting spun out. It seems like.
Any additional questions for Jeff or Rudy? We'll go to Bob here in the front.
Bob Parker, Fox Sports. Following up on that, Rudy, on the intermediate tracks, it seems like these cars are more wicked to drive, right? So how come on an intermediate does it seem that if you start spinning, you're toast, but here you can get bumped and save it?
Yeah, I mean, the intermediates is the speed, the lack of side force from what we've had, the lack of downforce from what we had, and we're up on power from what we had. So, and then the tire is pretty, wears out pretty quick. It's pretty soft. And then we come here and we have similar downforce to we've had recently. We've got a little bit less power, actually, went from 750 to 670. And the side force doesn't matter as much. So it ends up being a little bit easier to drive. You know, the tires are wider. You have all those advantages of this car, that the tire grip and the mechanical grip, it kind of shows up.
And for either of you, you know, William mentioned his mom in Victory Lane, and, you know, this was a place where she had her stroke-like event. And I'm wondering, you know, during the time that she was in the hospital, how do you feel William handled it? Were you concerned about any sort of focus, and how much do you think that impacted him, if at all, last season?
Yeah, I mean, it was you know, a dramatic event. You know, that happened during the race here last year. So, you know, William's in a tight-knit family. So, with his sister and his mom and his dad. So, yeah, of course, it affects him. He's a he's a professional, and he doesn't really wear a bunch of his emotions on his sleeve, but you know it affects you. We've all gone through different things in our lives, and as much as we want to block it out, it affects us in what we do. So he did an awesome job of trying to getting through all that and still being successful and racing. But it's amazing. It's just so happy to a year anniversary for that to get a win. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I was going to say, she's here in the back. So, a year later, it's pretty awesome to come back and have a win.
Any final questions for Jeff or Rudy? All right, gentlemen, thanks for joining us. Congratulations on the win today. All right, we're going to continue with our post-race media availabilities for today's Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief 400 at Martinsville. We are joined by our race winner, William Byron, who has been collecting clocks here all weekend at Martinsville. His second clock of the weekend here, driver of the number 24 Hendrick Motorsports Chevrolet. We will go straight to questions for William. If you have a question, please raise your hand and we'll get a wireless microphone to you. We'll start in the back there with Noah.
No, Lewis, TSJ Sports. First off, congratulations, William.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
And then second off, can you just talk a little bit about how the car felt tonight? It seemed like a bit of an odd race here at Martinsville in terms of what we usually see, and passing seemed pretty low.
Yeah, the pace was certainly high. I don't think I could never relax. I could never save. I saved tire by just not sliding the tires, but not, I never could back up and save tire and things like that. But I think it's just really cold temps and, anytime it's below 40 degrees, I'd say, the tires don't even lay rubber. So that was definitely a factor all night, but normal short track stuff, take care of your rear tires and all those things. And I felt like we did a good job of that. Rudy made some great adjustments. There, probably the mid portion of the race got us, a little bit better, and just had to manage when we got to traffic and had to be aggressive with certain guys to kind of, either move them or get them offline to pass them and set our gap from there. I thought as soon as we got our car a little bit better, we could work through lap traffic and kind of build the lead.
How much could you take from the truck race on Thursday? Obviously, these cars are very different.
It's different, but Martinsville, like any short track you go to, it's rhythm. So, you find that rhythm, and I felt like in the truck, I was able to find that rhythm pretty well in that last long run that we had towards the end of that race. And just, it's always fun just racing other stuff. I don't know why I didn't do more short track racing, throughout the last few years, but it's been a lot of fun to go back to the short tracks and, be with great people on the late model side. And, there's, little things here and there that they've taught me that I feel like have helped me, and, all those things, all those little tidbits pay off.
And then quickly, I ask you Thursday about where you're going to put the clock. Have you figured the first one out, and what are you going to do now with the second one?
Yeah, probably give one of them to my parents and probably just keep the cup one in the apartment because that one's pretty special. Anytime you win a cup race, these things are hard. I know it might've looked like we had a dominant race, but these cup wins are really hard. So you cherish them, and definitely going to try to keep all the trophies together.
We're going to go to Matt, Mark, and then we're going to go upstairs to the press box.
Matt Weaver, Racing America. You were in a similar position to win a clock. I think it was 2019, late caution kind of made it go away. Jeff Gordon has been so good here for so long. The 24 car is synonymous with modern Martinsville history. Yeah. Are you aware of any of that and your place now adding to that legacy? Chase wasn't able to do it. He came close too. But are you aware of your place in history now, 24 Martinsville?
Yeah, it's special because I feel like, so when I was a rookie, Jeff was like, hey, let's ride up to Martinsville together. Like, it wasn't even a question. It was like, hey, let's ride up to Martinsville together. I want to show you some things. So he walked me through this place, and just the things he told me, I don't know if they really clicked until I ran second that year to Truex, and they started to click, and I was like, all right, that's it. Like, that's the way you get around Martinsville. So just having his history in the 24 car definitely puts an emphasis on being good here, because I feel like it's a place that is filled with history, and if you can win here in the 24 car, it's going to be something you always cherish. So definitely a special, and you know, he's got what, 93 wins and however many clocks, you know, we've got a lot of clocks to chase, but it's cool to get that advice from him, those little things that I picked up from him in my rookie year that I didn't really use for a few years. And then as soon as I got towards the front, I'm like, all right, that makes sense.
I know that Jeff has kind of taken a personal investment in you in terms of not even just the racecraft, but also just the marketing and presenting yourself, yeah, you know, publicly. What has Jeff meant to you as far as like your development as a Cup driver?
Yeah, I think Jeff kind of brought me to the Cup Series. Like I was a kid in Xfinity that was really raw and didn't know a lot about the world, and I felt like Jeff brought me into the Cup world and said, here's how things go. You know, and I think that's been key for me, because he's probably been the biggest mentor for me when it comes to how do I manage the team, how do I talk to the guys, and how do I get things done, you know, when it comes to inside the shop and how I work with people. Hey, I want this on my car, or I want, you know, this in the interior of the car. So he was very vocal about getting all that stuff right, and I feel like those are the details that now it's kind of paying off for me.
Go to Mark and then to the press box.
Mark Garrow, PRN. William, I've got a couple of questions. Number one, I was talking with Joey Logano after the race. He talked about how you brake checked him. He said, I would have done the same thing. I asked him, do you wish now you would have hit him harder? And he said, yes. What were you expecting there? Were you expecting something harder than he gave you in turn one?
Yeah, I just knew from – yeah, I just – legend car days, I just knew if it comes down to a restart at the end, the second place guy is just trying to move you off the bottom. So, you know, Dennis taught me a lot of good lessons back in the day of that stuff, and I felt like that paid off there at the end. I've never really been in a situation like that until tonight, but I was like, man, all right, I guess it's kind of like the legend cars. You got to keep the car on the bottom. And luckily, you know, I kind of messed up 3 and 4, and I was able to you know, he was right there on my bumper, but I was able to manage that.
And my other question is, this is the first time you've had multiple wins in a season. You've done that eight.
That's cool.
That's eight
we've
races.
We've been chasing that.
That's only eight races into a 36-race season. So, again, how does that make you feel now, and what are you adjusting goals now as far as how many races you think you can win this year?
Yeah, I think I said it a couple times. I felt like last year left us with a pretty bitter taste because I felt like we were so close to a lot of wins in that second half of the year. And, man, it just felt like things would happen and things would break down, you know, right at the last minute. And it left me with a bitter taste. And I felt like, you know, throughout this offseason I was pretty bitter about that stuff. And, you know, but it was motivation, because I felt like we could get into this year. Granted, it's a new car. We had to go through that adaptation process with a new car, but I feel like we're starting to learn now what we need, and you know, it's good to see. And now I feel like all that desire and passion that we had in the off season to prove to ourselves that we could win multiple races is there.
So, does it change your goal?
I think my goals for at least last year and this year have been to win multiple races, so I don't think that's changed, but it's a long season, so we've got to go to Bristol Dirt and figure out that, and go to Talladega and hopefully build on what we did at Atlanta. So I don't know. It's a long season for sure, but I think certainly we have the pieces to do it.
We're going to go upstairs to the press box for a pair of questions. You guys can go ahead in the press box. All right, we'll go to Kelly down here, and then I'll get the questions from them upstairs.
Kelly Crandall, racer.com. First off, you said there about it clicked when you finished second to Truex a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. What was it that clicked? We've heard that here before from drivers, that it would take them either getting lapped and they would watch the leader, or there would always be a moment for them where it clicked. What was it for you watching Truex and following Truex that it clicked for you?
Well, I can't tell you that, but no, I don't know. It's just short track stuff. I mean, I think when it clicks everywhere. You know, I'd say the mile and a half are a little bit different, but there's still like grip is grip. So once you figure out what that feeling is that you want in the car, you know, it does click for you. So, yeah, I just think we're, you know, I've got great people around me with Rudy. You know, he's grown up on the short tracks. He worked with Kyle a lot in the super late models, and you know, he's got a good idea of these places. And you know, it just it helps when you have people pulling the rope in the same direction, and you have Rudy up there knowing what adjustments to make. He can see the car go around the track, and you know, he probably knows before I say anything what I need. So, just awesome team, and you know, we've got, you know, I can't forget to mention Raptor. You know, they're on the car with Exalta, and you know, their promotion there, so pretty cool to have them on the car, and you know, good to get both sponsors a win. So with Liberty a couple weeks ago, pretty awesome.
And you touched on being the first repeat winner of the year and being bitter after losing out on some wins last year. So just what does it mean now to cross off the box of first season getting multiple wins?
Yeah, I just think it kind of breaks the ice a little bit. I felt like you know, I could win a race a year. You know, we've done that for a couple of years, but to get in that multi-win category is hard. You gotta lead a lot of laps, and we were doing that okay, but we're kind of we're probably an 8th to 12th place team before this year, and I just feel like I just see a difference in the way our guys are this year, and kind of the attention to detail, and it's been good so far. So we just gotta, like I said, it's a long season, so a lot's gonna change with this car, and we gotta keep it up.
All right, we're gonna go back and try the press box again.
Hey, William, Chris Knight, CatchFence.com. Congrats on the win. Is it true that you have an upcoming competition in Lego Masters? And if you do, do you have to make room for moving your Legos for the clocks?
Oh, yeah. I'm doing some stuff with Lego Masters soon. I don't have any idea what it's going to look like or what it's going to be, but I'm supposed to not spoil that. So I'm just kind of wait and see. But yeah, you know, it's been kind of a busy season so far. So the last thing I built was the Titanic Lego set, which was like 9,900 pieces. So that was pretty wild. Was pretty exhausted after that. So I've kind of it's hanging up in front of my bed. So it's pretty cool.
And you're running for the Kyle Larson on the dirt this week, right? And how will that help you for the Bristol Dirt Race next weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I think, you know, iRacing has helped. You know, their dirt model is pretty good. The way the track changes, you know, I feel like I've been trying to watch a lot of dirt races to kind of see, you know, how that all works. And luckily, last year with Bristol Dirt in the Cup car, it was pretty much like an asphalt track. It was just a slick asphalt track because it got rubbered in and, you know, you just had to baby the throttle. But I think this year is going to be a little different. So hopefully the run in the dirt late model will help me a little bit. I want to run a lot more of those because I feel like they're a full size car. You can manipulate them. They're not too dangerous, I feel like, for somebody like me who has no experience, and they've got a ton of horsepower. So hopefully I can. My hope would be to run a lot of super late model races on asphalt and some on dirt. You know, would be the goal for the future.
And did we have another question upstairs in the press box?
Yeah, Joshua Weatherman, Short Track Report. After years of declining attendance, short track racing is seeing an amazing regrowth, but is now struggling due to the pandemic with supplies, namely tires. Do you think it's imperative that drivers on your level go to these tracks to help them market to and bring in fans?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I probably get more fans from going to a race at Hickory or Pensacola or you know, New Smyrna than I do, you know, going to do something here at the track. I feel like people see that you're able to do unique stuff and kind of, you know, those guys are really good at what they do. So it's the racing is no different than up here. It's just a matter of kind of different cars and different series. But yeah, I think my next one's Nashville in a couple weeks, and hopefully, you know, we can have a good run there and just keep that, you know, momentum going. I do think it's cool to, my wish would be that we had more short track races close by the Cup race, you know, and then we could have guys do that. But hopefully in the next couple of years, we can kind of get the schedule synced up.
and tell us how important you think short tracks have been in developing talent and growing skills for young drivers to reach this level, including yours when you started.
Yeah, I mean, it's big. You know, I think, you know, Cup's its own beast, you know, so we can't discredit. Like, when you get to Cup, there's so much you got to learn. So, you know, but you just got to be versatile. You know, I think Larson showed that last year. It's just about being versatile and being able to adapt. You know, everyone at this level is so good. It always amazes me when we go out and practice for, like, a new track and you see, like, 20 guys just figure it out so quick. It's just amazing to see the talent in Cup. It's pretty cool.
We're going to go to Aaron.
Aaron Bearden, Motorsports Speak. Congrats on the win, William. I'm going to talk about the dreaded P word. I know it's early, but last year, strong year for you, top 4 in points most of the regular season. You get to the playoffs, one bad run. I think Talladega crash kind of undermines all of it, right? This year, 8 races in, you've already got more playoff points than you had all year last year. I know you're more concerned about the wins right now, but how important is that for you to be able to make a deeper run when the postseason comes around and avoid those kind of pitfalls?
Yeah, it's all bonus points. You know, last year we were top 3 in points all year, and that was great, and we were feeling good. And then we get to August, and we're like, oh, shoot, we're 9th in playoff points. Like, where did all that go? So, you know, it was, or whatever, 7th, 8th, 9th, around there. So, yeah, we've got to get those playoff points. You know, we've learned that over the course of being in the playoffs the last 3 years and or 4 years. And, yeah, it's just all about getting the playoff points so you can be one of those top 3 or 4 guys. Ideally, you'd try to be, you know, like Larson was last year, but yeah, it's really important.
Gonna go to Deb and then Bob.
Deb Williams, RacingToday.com. Congratulations, William. You are a very close family. We talked about that years ago when I wrote about you in the Charlotte Observer. Your parents are here. It was, and you said this was for your mom. It was a year ago that she had her health issues. Please talk about how much this means a year later to win this race and how you've dealt with this during this year when it's been so tough.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to think back to last year, you know, the race was on a Sunday, but it was the same weekend as this. And, you know, the first thing that happened was I got back to my bus and, you know, we finished 4th, I think. And, you know, I was like thinking about the race and I opened my phone and my dad's like, call me. I'm like, man, that's weird. Like, he never says that after a race. Like, he usually says something about the race or whatever, you know, but it was, like, very urgent. So I called him, and he told me what was going on, and, you know, he told me about it, and I'm like, you know, he told me what happened at the track and that she was rushed to the hospital, and, you know, it all seemed okay, but they're like, yeah, there's this, like, mass in her brain, like, we're not sure what it is, and my heart just stopped. Like, I was just like, man, I couldn't deal with the emotion of that. Like, it was hard to process. And I'd say the next few days after that, I didn't think about racing at all. You know, it was all about, you know, what was going on. And I think as the next 90 to 100 days progressed, it was still about that, but I somehow had to race too. And that was a tough challenge, but we worked through it. And, you know, it was, you know, like my dad always says, it was a crazy 100 days or crazy 90 days. And, you know, as we got on the other side of that, you know, there was a lot of bright side. And, you know, great to have her here and have them here and just see, you know, how things have progressed in a year. It's been amazing. So definitely makes you count your blessings and be thankful for everything. And nothing more special than tonight to kind of, you know, kind of cap it all off, you know, a year later on the same weekend. So. Pretty special and yeah, pretty cool. Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, just thankful and, you know, we'll definitely enjoy this win and, it's going to be a lot of fun to celebrate. Yeah. I'm pretty close to them and I've got a great supporting cast with, you know, Max and my girlfriend, Erin, and my sister, Catherine. Like, I have a great group of people around me that, you know, I feel like when things were tough, like, in racing and in life, it's easy to go to them and talk to them. Mm-hmm.
Go to Bob.
Bob Pockris, Fox Sports. Were you surprised so many other drivers stayed out, or was tire wear and track position so kind of rare for this track that you knew that they were all going to have to stay out?
Well, I definitely didn't know what they were going to do. I thought they would do the opposite of us for sure. And Rudy was adamant about that. And I think I said something like, I think my tires are okay or something, because I was trying to encourage that a little bit. But I didn't really want to make his decision. I wanted to see how it played out, and I wanted to stick with whatever he thought was best. But when he said stay out, I was like maybe 60-40 on that decision. I'm like, all right, I could see how that would work, but I could also see how that could not work at all. So, luckily it worked out. I think the three had the biggest decision in that. You know, he decided to stay out in second, and everyone kind of followed suit. So, it could have been interesting if those guys had tires for sure. I kind of would have been the odd man out. But with the way how cold it was outside, I don't know if you could have gotten cold tires to take off. You know, it was so cold. They took 7 laps to take off.
Any additional questions for William? Go back up front to Matt.
One more for you. On the restart where you first took the lead, I think it was with Chase, was there some kind of a agreement or understanding on the restart how you guys would work together, and what was that?
Yeah, we just watching races here, throughout the years, it just makes sense for the leader to, choose the top and have if your teammates, if you're lucky enough to be in that position, he takes the bottom and you work it out off turn two. So, it worked out well. I thought it was a little choppy with the way that the next gen accelerates, kind of weird. Like you have grip, and then if you spin your tires, you're killed. But it's like as soon as you launch, it's really good. So the first one we did, I spun my tires a bunch, and I almost lost second. But yeah, it worked out, and luckily, I think he had a pretty good run too. They were really fast, so just kind of all about who got out front. Thank you.
Any final questions? All right, William, well, congratulations this weekend, and we'll see you next weekend.
Appreciate it.
This is WFO Radio.
Woo! Yeah, welcome to the party.
Bye, bye, bye.
Subscribe to WFO Radio on iTunes. Never miss a show. And don't forget to write a review. WFO.